This is the 1994 Feast of Tabernacles, Maitreya's first lecture, Paravipras. We're at September 21st, 1994.
What are we talking about today? Paravipras, huh? Maybe it's jeudi. Okay, let's have a moment of silence and let's close our eyes and bring our energies together. Spirit, one with the Spirit of God, that we all focus on Him, on His Spirit. Let us all let Him flow through us. He meditates, awakens His spiritual forces, directs all His energy to create the kingdom of the universe. Sacrifice, surrender and suffering for himself, and he's a universalist. Salam. He's a Paravipra. Yeah, that is. Thanks. You know, we're going to go talk about the Paravipra today, and maybe tomorrow morning also, and probably today we can just cover, you know, how the concept of Paravipra can be born. You know, where the Paravipra starts. Eternity. Eternity. How did it start in eternity? Huh? Yeah, eternal divine. Because the eternal divine path starts in eternity, so the concept of Paravipra starts in eternity. What happened when the first Big Bang happened? Okay. Who made the Big Bang? God made the Big Bang. But the problem is that's the problem with scientists. Scientists put God out of everything. Of course, everybody put God out of everything. And that is the real problem. And the problem is that you cannot put God out of anything. The moment you put God out of anything, you know, that things falls apart. And I guess he likes to be included also. Okay? He wants to people to say, yeah, God also is in this. I mean, the food you eat, God is in it. You know, the book you read, your mind, your eye, your hands, your life, everything, you know, he is a part of it, no matter where you are, what you do, what happens, you know, God is always there. So, the Big Bang also started with God. Okay. But when Big Bang began to start, what happened? There was chaos. And right in the Bible it says what? There was chaos and God decides to, according to our teaching, to do what? To bring the order to this chaos. What it says, Bible? I remember.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
The dark was above. What does darkness symbolize of? When we are, our mind is in darkness, is what we call that. We are our mind in cloud. But cloud makes us
confused
and dark and destruction and all that. So. But when this confusion started, God wanted to bring order to this confusion, and that is why He started the process of sending His Spirit to that darkness. The only way He could understand that darkness was what? To go in, to experience it. So why there is darkness? Okay. God is not an academician; He's a practitioner. He doesn't sit there and read the books and say, okay, everything's fine, we're going to go and do it. He goes inside, he just plunges in. Okay. He doesn't say, oh, I'm afraid, I'm not going to touch it, this is out of my league, I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. He just plunges in. As he plunges in, of course, he might make some mistakes. You know, I'm not saying God make mistakes, but if we plunge in any situation, we might make mistakes in the beginning. Okay. But the thing is, we learn from our mistakes, you know, and we learn about mistake. The less mistake we make, well, that's what he did. He just plunged in. He sent his spirit into that darkness. And whatever, he started meditating and being with the darkness and thinking about darkness and realizes, oh, look at this. You know, if there is more tamaguna and darkness is there, there is more separation between these unit consciousnesses. They separate each other in units. That we are separate with this. I am white. I am woman. I am from this part, so I'm better than this guy. I'm black. I'm from this world. I'm better than this one. And I have this castle and this car and this aeroplane. I'm better than these people. So everybody is separating somehow from some other people with some concepts, which is very external. Internally, we are all the same. Okay? If we look at each other internally, a spirit doesn't have color. A spirit doesn't have any wealth. A spirit doesn't belong to any nationality or part of the universe. It belongs to the whole universe. Then if we could look at each other's spirit, then we can see, well, there is no separation. See, the separation starts when we identify ourselves with something external. If we don't identify ourselves with external things, what's left between us? Nothing. We're just a part of a spirit of God. We have no separation. That's our problem of all those hot topics that people talk in television all the time about colors and genders and nationality and this and that. No. And the people are afraid that they think if we give what we got, our standard living is going to be lower. Okay? But the amount of the money we spend, the energy we spend to keep what we have, if we spend that much energy to find out more about energy in the universe, because the universe is what? It's energy. What makes the standard of living higher? Having more energy. Okay. We have a higher standard of living because we have more energy to spend. Okay. And there's infinite energy in the universe. If we spend that energy and time to keep this thing we have and we are afraid to lose, and instead of spending that energy there, expanding ourselves and researching and understanding the universe better, we can tap into the infinite energy that brings the standard of living everybody in a higher. So you see, human is upside down. The logic is, you know, just like as Hindu says, this world is like a tree that is upside down. The more you climb it, the more you go to the root of it. And you get more lost. Anyway, we're not going to talk about trees, we're going to talk about vipras. So he realized that the more there is tamaguna in their environment, the more they're tamasic, the more they're selfish, the more self-centered, the more they're separate, people separate from one another. So he realized, okay, so there is tamaguna, sattvaguna, and rajaguna, and he realizes that the more sentient, the more sattva environment he creates, the better, you know, relationship people is gonna have with one another. So he start trying to do that. So he realizes we need a good environment, okay, in order for people come together, progress. He realized the communities of light. He realized that we have to have good communities, teach our children good characters, good manners, good, you know, teaching, and bring God to their life. Isaac knows so much about God. Yeah, he knows so from so many different religions and things. You know, he even tells me sometimes some things I didn't know. You know, it just blows my mind away. It says, where'd you get that one from? I just taught it myself. You know, and just, you know, when he grows up, you know, he can just be open to any religion. He can talk with the Jews, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists. Say, I know about your religion, you know. Let's talk about it. You know, that's kind of a children we have to create. Also, he's learning, you know, he shouldn't lie, he should cooperate, he should be polite, he should be, you know, of course, he's a kid at the same time. You can't completely break him not to be a little rascal once in a while. Which is, that one is okay, to be a rascal, you know, because that's a part of, you know, growing up. But just imagine all the children are grown up to be, you know, so open, okay, to all the ideas on the earth, instead of just teaching them, no, if you go out of this dogma, you're going to be destroyed, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, okay? And then, what's going to, they grow up with what? With such a fear, okay, of any truth, okay? They saw the Lotostico, say, oh no, this is Nazis. That's terrible. They're going to kill us. That's too bad. These people are bad. Let's kill them. You know, just like what they did to, you know, Quraysh. Okay? Why didn't we go in and let's find about what they have to say? Okay? And sit with them and learn about what is their teaching is and say, okay, fine. Great. That's great teaching. Take the one that is good. The one is not good. We'll take them. Okay? Why should we go and destroy them? Why should we put them in the fire? 80, 90 people? Children? It's terrible. It's just beyond. And then just go on with our lives without like nothing happened. Or in Haiti, you know, we're going to still know that they killed two people died yesterday because they got, you know, beaten up with the police force. And these are our things, a terrible thing happening on earth, that life, human life is very precious. Okay, we can't just destroy them and just go on with the life and says it's okay. You know? And so we need to bring this thing to whole humanity, to understanding that, you know, God said, thou shall not murder. Okay. Anywhere you should not murder. Okay, kill, of course, if you're defending yourself, that's a different story. That's actually the Bible's, the thou shalt not murder. Anyway, so he realized that we need a good environment to live in. And he realizes he has to sacrifice, he has to give him himself. Okay, if everybody says, what is it in for me, what is it in for me, what is it in for me, then everybody's trying to pull the, you know, resources to themselves. What happens? Sure, somebody's going to have more than they need, somebody's going to not have anything. And that's going to create what? A skirmish, destruction, wars, and whatever we have. So there has to, again, come to every human, this is, you are responsible in this earth. Okay? Your actions affect everyone else's. You know, it's what I do here affects everyone else around me. Okay. Whatever anybody does here affects everyone else around us. So we have to realize that we are interconnected, absolutely connecting with one another. It's not something we are completely separate from each other. So that again brings the responsibility, the individual responsibility, the individual awareness that you are interconnected to everyone else. So he realizes the sacrifice is needed. Without sacrifice, nothing gonna happen. We are even sacrificing right now, sitting here and listening to this lecture. Okay, in another sense, you could have been somewhere else and having fun, being in the beach, or going, you know, a nice drive. That's a sacrifice. Okay, to be here and listen to that is, of course, it's not a big sacrifice. But but he sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed for 14 years and nothing happened. So he got this discouraged and starts saying, what is going on here? I'm sacrificing so much. I gave up this and I gave up that. And I have such a wonderful revelation. It makes sense. It's beautiful. Why there is so much resistance to it? Why don't people just take it and say, yeah, it fulfills the prophecy, it unifies the religions of the world, let's go for it, okay? And have this happen, bring it in. You know, put the resource behind it. Publish this book, get the magazine going on, send it all over the earth, get missionary, start doing these things together instead of heal me, give me this, give me that, and asking all the time. As Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad said, human never tires of asking for favors. Is that asking for favors? You know, instead of saying, hey, forget about me, let's, this wonderful revelation here, let's get down behind this and do it, instead of saying, oh, is it doing any miracles for me, or do this and do that? See? So you can't get any discouraged. Or you start doing, you know, the mission, and suddenly 100, 200, couple of thousand, million people come and say, oh, look at me, what am I doing, you know? I'm such a wonderful, great person that I can have so many followers and have so many people, you know, listening to this revelation. I am doing it. So you get the big ego, what happens? You're down the drain again. So Spirit of God realized that if you get attached to the result of your actions, you are bound to either get depressed or get very egoistical. Okay? Because the moment, you know, it doesn't happen, you get depressed. If it happens, you get too elated. Okay? So you go up and down, up and down. But as we say, as we hear in Bhagavad Gita says, the realized person has a steady mind that is focused completely in what he is supposed to do. He neither goes very high, neither goes very low. How do you get there? Not to be attached to the result of your action. You do the actions, the result is God's. How many actions do we have done? Last 14 years, we wrote though, we published many things, we put a lot of things out, we put advertising, we went to the World Unity Forum, we reached so many different ways to so many different people and so many different areas. And if we were attached to the result of actions, we should be pretty, pretty depressed by now. Which we are.
You're in the damp, you're going back.
You look very depressed.
You want to go up again? Yeah, right. But the idea is not to go very high and not go very low. The idea is to stay steady, you know, and constant. So going, if you're going up and down, it's got the roller coaster.
Roller coaster.
Yeah. Okay.
I was singing an inner tube out in the ocean, and Maitreya floating too, floating just real fine, enjoying God. And I see all of us running. There's Maitreya, grabbing the tube, and we all sink under. Because the tube couldn't hold us all. We sunk under the water.
That's right. That's right. If you hung into Maitreya, actually, it says if you saw the Buddha, kill him. Okay, why? So you're not gonna go to God just hanging with Maitreya and the teacher. You have eventually rely on yourself. Okay, that's why I'm here to connect you to God. I'm not connecting yourself to me. But then I'm going to create another cult if I connect you to me. I can. It's much easier to do it that way. Believe me. It's much easier. I can tell you guys are wonderful. You think very good. You're wonderful. Okay. And then just let you do whatever you want. And say, don't worry about it, everything is fine. Just meditate, you're going to go to heaven. That's it. You're going to love me.
You
know? A lot of people are going to be here. I'm just going to sit there and say, okay, just fine and do nothing. That's it. It's very easy. That is the easier way to do it. It's a path to do it. But God didn't, probably He didn't create me that way. You know, and I can't lie. That is one thing, you know, God cannot do. God cannot lie. Okay? He's truthful. And And this time is not an individual healing, as we said many times. We are here to heal the whole earth, the whole humanity this time. This is the healing power for the whole humanity. So we cannot just, you know, hang to ourselves. That is the whole idea. Get out of yourselves. Okay? To become completely forget about body and me and me and this and that. But what God wants me to do? What is His will? Okay. So surrender the result of action to God. Okay? You do the job, you do the work, you do the thing, but don't get discouraged or down and say, why is it not happening? Why the people are not coming? Who cares? Do you believe it or not? It's an individual decision. Is it my fate or not? Okay. It still would be my fate if none of you were here. Okay. Still I would believe in the eternal divine path. I still believe in though. I still believe in this revelation. This is my fate. Okay. I don't care if none of the humanity in the whole universe will accept my teaching or my faith. And that's my faith. And that is important, that everyone accept that faith for themselves. That this is my faith. So the moment this is your faith, then there is another Maitreya there. We have two Maitreya, three Maitreya, 10 Maitreya, 100 Maitreya. Okay. That it's their faith, and they're going to go and stand by it and preach it to the people. He realizes he shouldn't be attached to the result of his actions. And then he realizes even attached, not being attached to the result of your action, still you say, I am not attached to the result of my actions, and I surrender to God. There is that I still there. So he realizes, really, who is the doer here? Am I really the doer? He recognizes, no, really it is God who is doing it. If you realize that, then there's nothing left there. There's no I left. Okay? He is thus flowing through you. There is no result. The result is already His, because He's done it. How can you surrender the result of something that you have never done? Okay, so you become completely detached from anything, you know, happens or done or, you know, around you. Of course, some people might sometimes feel, I don't appreciate what they do. You know, they work very hard and they say, my children probably doesn't even thank me for what have I done. In that state, I am doing whatever God does through me, and you are doing whatever God does through you. See? So why should you? I thank you for something that God has done it anyway. You see? And also, if it is your faith, your thanks goes to what? To God. You actually have to thank God that providing you His Spirit so you would be able to do these things for Him. Okay. And just it's completely different view of life. Okay. It's a completely different view from the worldly thing. Okay. It's not you know, you're trying to please other people or other things. You are trying just to please yourself and God. Of course, through that, everybody else is going to be pleased, because you become more and more effective, more and more wonderful, more and more, you know, flowing in your life. You become happy. You know, everybody likes a happy person. Okay? So you have to be happy. How can you get happy? Let God come through you. Okay? How can God come through you? Become submissive to Him. Okay, I have 3 pages to go. I'm in the second topic. It's half an hour gone.
That's great.
And also, he starts, you know, he realizes, okay, God is doing through me, fine. I'm going to help these people. I love these people around me, you know, my neighbors and my family and my children and it is my, you know, people from my city or country or race. I'm going to help these people. But as he is trying to help them, you know, he realized that he's becoming narrow. Okay? His help is concentrated only one part of the universe. And he realized that God is everything. You know, how can you separate anything from anything in this universe? The moment you do that, you fall, you're not following God. Because the woman said, this part is better than part, means this God is better than this God, which is the same thing from the same source, from the same spirit. You cannot do that. Okay. You have to realize that everything is God. No matter what is created, it's good, because it's from God. Okay. And God is good. So everything is good, and they have their places. Okay. No matter if it doesn't appeal to us, as still, just like wolf. You know, when humanity used to kill wolves all the time, okay, because it didn't appeal to them. It's such a pest, you know, attacking their sheep and being there. Now they're realizing, okay, that it's necessary for, you know, keeping the population of the sheep and other animals down. And if you kill the wolves, there's going to be too many sheep, too many grazing animals, and they're going to graze the whole land of the vegetable. And they're going to be overgrazed, and there's going to be erosion and destruction of the land. So they didn't like it, but that was necessary, you know, to be in that ecosystem. And they were, okay, they were going all together. That's exactly the same about everything else. We might not like it, but God likes it. God knows what He's doing. It is necessary. It has to be there. So, after we realize it, that God is everything, we become what? Become a universalist. The moment you awaken your spiritual forces, you realize that you have to work toward the creation of the communities of light and good environment. Communities of light doesn't really mean you have to create a community of light. At least, work on yourself to be a good person and create a good environment around yourself. It starts from there, really. It's a start within you. You can't work on anyone else. You can work only on yourself. Okay, you can help no one but yourself. So, but starting working on yourself, you really are starting the communities of light. There, right there. Then, of course, reach out. As you become more good person, you want to help other people, you have no choice. You have to reach out to the community. Get involved, and, of course, whatever you can, your ability, you can manifest, you know, out there. And if each person, 4-5 billion people on Earth, would have done a little to help the Earth, we would have been in a very, very good shape. But the problem is not only they're not helping the Earth, but they're destroying the Earth. They're going against being good to it. So that is a part of the problem. It awakens the spirit forces, directs the energy toward the creation of common self life, sacrifices. Sacrifice really means not to being self-centered, not to being self, thinking about ourselves all the time. Become surrender and submissive to God, and become a universalist. The moment you go through these 5 steps, you become a paravipra. So, the Spirit of God goes through these steps and it becomes a paravipra and reaches, of course, pure consciousness. That's what God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the whole 7 steps of the eternal divine path is manifested now in the manifestation. It no longer is in eternity. And that is where the idea comes to humanity. And actually, the first begotten Son becomes the first spiritual teacher to humanity. And He brings the steps in the 7 steps of the eternal divine path to humanity. But we can see how humanity wants to follow the 7 steps. I mean, it's really 5 steps. 5 steps of the eternal divine path. What we're asking humanity? Anybody know what we're asking humanity? Hello, hello.
To follow the eternal
divine path, okay. Okay. What is steps in the eternal divine path?
The reminder.
Okay.
Harry
Why do we do the reminder? Why do we do that? Why the reason behind doing a reminder and the Harim Shari Haim?
Because
What is the first?
Together, all the energy.
Okay, that's one of the things. Okay. That's right. What else?
To unify.
To unify? Okay.
Awakens us.
Right, right. So the first step, there's only one path. Is that the one called? That's a good one too. Is to awaken your spiritual forces. That's the first step. And that is related to all the mystical path on earth. No matter what kind of religions are, as far as they talk about a personal experience, personal awakening of the spiritual forces, it's in the first step of the eternal divine path. So we are asking humanity to meditate, to the reminder, to the Hari Om Shri Ram, gaze on the great sign, chant, to the rosary, okay, fasting.
These are all part of the first.
That's right. Yeah. It's all awakening of the spiritual forces. Pray. That's right. Pray.
Internally and externally.
That's right. Cleanliness. Good food, good air, sunshine, exercise, inner size. Give satsang. Share God with other people, right? Right. Follow the 15 commandments, 33 virtues. All these things is what? Awaken our spiritual forces. It's all related to the first step. If we do not do the first step, can we go to the second step? Can't. And then, how many of people really want to do all these things? Not you. See, I think she's honest about it. I see. Not that. You are going to do it, huh? Are you doing all of that?
Not all at one time.
That's good. Who does all of them?
I do all of them, but maybe I don't do the reminder twice a day all the time. But I do.
Yeah. So see, that's the first step you're asking your mind.
Right.
See, that's a lot to ask, isn't it? We don't want to do it. Awakening of his spiritual forces. How many years ago Buddha came and he said you have to meditate? How many people are you meditating? See how hard it is to get this thing going? That's the first step, they don't want to do it. Now the next step, you say what? You have to become aware that you are connected with everyone else. And you have to become a responsible person. And you have to become a self-policing person. You have to love your neighbor as yourselves. You have to create the community of life. You have to engage yourself to create a better community for everyone around you. You have to be good to your husband, you have to be good to your wife, you have to be good to your children. You have to respect elders, listen to your parents. That's the second step. Create a community of life. How many people want to do that? Not very many people can do that. Now, not only to do that, you also have to sacrifice. Okay? It means that you can't just live in a house, wife and husband, a couple of kids, and you think you are okay. You have to open your house to other people. You have to open your community to other people. You have to reach out to other people, and if it is necessary, invite them to their house. Just like this house doesn't belong to us, it belongs to everyone. Okay? It's open to everyone to come in and talk about God and share God with us. and be with us. And you're asking not to be self-centered. Not to think all the time, what is it in me, what is it in me, what is it in me. And how many people came to the mission thinking, what is it in for me in here? Actually, a lot of people came to check it out. To check it out what? Check it out to see what? What are you expecting to see? And just like Christ said, what did you expect to see? And when they went to John the Baptist, what did you expect to see? A man in a, you know, yeah. But he was what? He wasn't in a fine linen. He was in what? He was in a very rough clothes and eating locusts. And so on. But they went to see what? Expect something. In a human sense, they expect something, not in a spiritual sense. Everybody says when Christ came, he's going to kingdom come. But Christ came any time, and they tortured him, they stoned him, they rejected him. They shot at him 700-800 times. See, what the expectation and the belief of humans and what the truth of the matter is absolutely two different things. Of course, they judge you too with the same mind. But it's okay. It's okay. Actually, we have to be thankful this time, you know, that we are in an environment we can preach without any fear. You know, God has provided with an environment. We can reach out. We can put the newsletter out. We can get together and even talk about this thing without, you know, being persecuted. That's great. That's God. That's what God provided this environment for. That's why God. I was wondering why God brought me here. Maybe that's what brought me here. You know, I would be gone by now if I wasn't preaching this in, a, you know, in Iran or in a, you know, some other places. You know, probably put another martyr or something. Then they make a religion. After they kill you, they say, okay, now let's make a religion out of this, what he does. As for he's alive, no, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. After they kill you, then they create a religion they wanted to be. Anyway, so that's a very hard thing to do, isn't it? Sacrifice too. And the third thing we say, surrender the result to God. They say, what God? They don't believe really in God. Really, really, really they don't believe in God. Even they don't talk about it. Most of the religions and people who follow God, they have politicalized it. Okay. It's a political thing. No anymore. But no fear. God said his kingdom will come. You see, that's what I said. It's our salvation. Many times I said, always these problems you're talking about is really nothing to be worried about. Okay. Because as he taught us and he showed us in our teaching, he said he's going to do this, do that, and he did it. And he also said he's going to bring his kingdom on earth. And he will. Okay. He's giving here now is the how it can be done. He's giving the blueprint. The only way you can be in the kingdom of heaven on earth is the communities of light. The communities of light is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the base of the community is couples. Married couples in a godly bound together. Okay. And their marriage is not based on, oh, I love you, I love you, you look good, I look good. Let's go bowling and go vacation and this and that. Oh, you didn't take me bowling, you're bad. You take me to vacation, you're no good. You know, you're not making enough money or this and that. No, it's something you both focus on God. You're not in the focus on each other. And the other problem just falls to their places. Okay. It's really the other problems are no problems. Because you are both and focus on him. Like, that's the only way you can become one. Yeah. You don't want to get to that one very much. You have much more things to talk about. Okay, let's get 5 minutes of break here. I'm not going to give you 10 minutes, but No, I'll just give you five. So, Hari. Okay, now God realized that, you know, it's very hard to bring the, you know, people into the pure consciousness in the ethereal level. So he created the creation. And he sent the first begotten son as their teacher. And he taught them the eternal divine path, not to be self-centered, not to be, you know, meditate, awaken the spiritual forces, be concerned from your coming for your community, anywhere you are. You start from you, your house, your neighbors, your, you know, neighborhood, and on and on. And but human said what? Human said, I want to know what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. See, as well as you are focused on God, you listen to him what is good and evil, doesn't it? You don't go with what is feel good, but what is God says good. Okay. As well as you say, well, I know what's good for me. Okay, I do whatever, I feel good. I feel good, so it is doing this, it feels good, so I go and do it. Okay. But if you are focused on God instead of focused on yourself, what you do? You see, is that connected to the will of God, what I do? Okay. It feels good to me, but does it feel good to God? And then what does he say? He sends his commandments. He said, thou shall not do this. So God is not democratic. Okay? He doesn't see this, let's discuss about it. This is the majority thing about that. Let's vote on it. If the majority vote, okay, we accept it. Majority says, feels good, let's do it. He doesn't say that. He said, thou shall not do this. Period. Okay? I'm not going to discuss it, okay? There's a dictatorship here. Okay? I say it, you follow it, okay? That's it. There is place for democracy. It's true. Okay? But there is places, there's no place for democracy. God could, just like, I made this car, okay? And I don't know how it works. Best. I don't know what kind of oil to put in it, I don't know what kind of gas to put in it, what connected to what, and how it can run the best. Now, I bring the car to some people, and the people say, no, let's discuss about it to see what kind of oil we should put in this car, and what the majority says goes. Should I accept that? I know what that car, I made that car, okay? I made this creation. I know what is the best in this creation. And that is when I can tell them, no, thou shall put super gas in this car. And they shall. That's exactly the same way. God said, thou shall not do these things. And it's not open to discussion. No. Just that's the way it is. Okay. And we follow whatever. So that is what happened to Adam and Eve. They became self-centered. They said, I shall know better than God what is good for me. And how many people say that these days? You know, majority of people says, I am big enough, I am old enough that do whatever I want to do for me. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. That's it. We know what is best for us. We're not going to listen to anyone else. We're not going to listen to God. And so, that is why human fell. And that was the beginning of codification of the body. But we didn't have this body. First of all, we were man and woman in one body. We didn't have separation. Okay. God, see, man is alone, all one. And he said, let's, you know, divide them to man and woman. That was his biggest mistake he made. So that was the problem started. And then, of course, he went on and on. We know what happened. And we were throughout of the Garden of Eden. But as we were crucified, eventually human reached a point that God could choose a people to start to bring this teaching together to humanity. So that's why he chose Nova. Okay, he said, this is not working either. Okay, we have to create and start something even more new, more, you know, different than what we were doing. So what he did that was, he destroyed all humanity. He just kept a few of them. Okay. He said, I had enough of this generation. They are, and just like he did with the dinosaurs. Okay. How many different branches of dinosaurs were there? You know, they're just finding out that dinosaurs eventually evolved to birds. They thought they're extinct. Okay. But they're realizing, yeah, the many of them were extinct. But one branch of them evolved to birds. So God created them many, many. You see, that's why I was telling some people in internet. You know, we're talking about, you know, this creationists were saying, no, God said be and let be, and that was it. God, everything was. And evolutionists said, no, it's just a chance. It just happened by itself. I said, look, first of all, if. Is it part of our lecture?
Lecture.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am overstepping my lecture. Okay. Oh. Forget about that one then. I don't think you're talking about that, do you? That you do? You know, okay, God said that if you're in his image, you can talk about that. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's all from you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, anyway. But the essence of it that is that if we are an image of God, how do we do work? How do we do things? We do in an evolutionary way, don't we? We create computer. So God destroyed those people who were not evolving to higher things. He said, that's enough. You know, these people are not getting the place they should go, so they are not good. So they destroyed them and created a new human. And that is when the symbol of Nova came about. Okay. Nova was a new creation, and his children were a new creation. Okay. So, we evolved from those children. Our third eye was closed. Okay. We no longer can see things they did. And our spiritual, that's why we say after Nova comes, he puts an example by burning fire and sacrificing meat. Okay. The human, before that they didn't need that. They never in Bible, before that it said anything about, you know, burn offering and sacrifice and all that thing, because human was becoming more gross. They were disconnected from God. They were disconnected from the spirit, became more flesh. The more flesh we become, the more away from God we become. So, but at the same time, Nova brought the new teaching to humanity, the mystical path. Okay. That's where the mystical path have come to humanity, evolved to Vedas and other teaching all over the world, Kabbalahs and all those teaching that have come to.
The great sign was here on Earth, or it was in eternity, so the people knew about it before Noah, but with Noah, the coming of Noah was this whole plan of God showing the great sign.
Okay, thank you. With Noah, God starts separating every sign and sending one at a time.
So the great sign shows history from 6,000 years ago.
No, 12,000 years.
12,000.
Okay, that's the start. Noah was 12,000 years ago?
Yeah. So, got it? Okay. So, he starts sending one teaching, one religion, one sign, one seal at a time. Now, Noah brought the first seal, the mystical path, which spread all over the earth. Every religion, every nation, every people have some mystical people in them. They're called different things, you know, for the. In India, they're called Brahmins or Gurus or Rishis or you know, Mahatmas and all those things. In Buddhist, it's called Lamas and things like that. And, you know, in the Judaism, it's called Kapalas. In Christianity, it's called Saints. In Islam, it's called Sufis, and, you know, and also Mullahs, probably, and people with teachers, and most probably Sufis. And in Baha'i, I don't know about Baha'i. Do they have mystics too? I don't know if they do have any mystics. They didn't, huh? Bob was a mystic himself. That's right. That's right. He was very seclusive and, you know, meditative person. So we can see that mystical path is in every religion. There's no religion, there's no teaching that doesn't have any mystical path. So that's why it's a base and a spirit of our teaching. If you're not a mystic, if you don't have the inclination to mysticism, okay, you're probably not much interested in it, in our teaching anyway. Because, you know, you're probably hanging to your dogmas, and, you know, you don't break out of your dogmas. And dogmas are very, very, you know, bound to a lot of people. You're born in a, just like, you know, I was telling someone in the, I hope it's not belong to any lecture this one. I was telling them that he was saying about you know, but I guess he was Christian, yeah. He was what dogmas Christians believe. I said, what would happen if you had born in an Islamic country? You become a Muslim, aren't you? Or a Buddhist? Or a Hindu? You are this because you were born in this environment. Go beyond it. Go beyond your environment. Break out. That's the only way you can understand and expand your mind. Otherwise, you're going to stay in that prison for the rest of your life. That's why you believe in these things, because you've been told to believe in these things. That's why we are so different. We're told what we should believe. We don't. We broke out. We expand ourselves. I should be a Muslim. Probably somewhere having, probably I would become very dogmatic Muslim too. You know, I probably would think all the rest of the humanity would be evil because they are not Muslim. But from the very beginning, I said, hey, show me God. If you don't show me God, how can I believe in Him? Yeah, I'm pretty materialistic and, you know, earthly. I will have to see God. If you show me, I believe Him. If you don't, I don't. As simple as it is. They couldn't show me. Okay. So you have to question your beliefs. Where did my belief come from? I've been a kid, okay? I've been told to believe this, and I do.
There are many groups, like Christian groups, missionaries that go to different countries and do their converting through mm-hmm. the Bible, scriptures, right. And what about all that?
Also, there are a lot of Muslims go around and converting. Or Buddhists, or Hindus, or...
Right.
See? Right. So there is this conversion going on.
All over.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, that's part of expansion.
Actually, yes, you know, right. Islam is the fastest growing religion on earth right now. Yeah. They are converting more people. Actually, there are 10 million Muslims in America. And there was a couple of million a couple of years ago. A lot of, especially blacks and minorities are joining Islam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, so you see, the conversion is happening everywhere. It is good in the sense because it expands their mind a little bit, because they go from what? One religion and become to another religion. So at least they have two backgrounds, two, you know, view of the religions.
But it's not good in the other sense, they use the bad.
That's right. That's right. Actually, the way it sounds like, this is mostly done for the political reason than real belief. Okay. So that is not good. Okay. So again, religion becomes politicized, and the moment religion is politicized, it's destroyed. It's no good. It's not God is not in it anymore. It's more important what I can get out of this power base that I'm belong to or whatever, you know, political thing. But our teaching expands the mind of the people. Okay? You no longer are, the moment you become, you understand that teaching and accept it, you no longer are a Christian, a Jew or Hindu or Muslim or Jew. You're beyond all of them. That's why it is so wonderful. You can talk with them, you can tell them you know about the religion, you can read Quran, it's okay. If you're a Christian, you're not supposed to read Quran. It's bad for you. Okay? That's heresy. Okay. If you're a Muslim, you're not supposed to, you know, read, you know, Hinduism and Bhagavad Gita. It's such a stupid thing not to read Bhagavad Gita. If you haven't read Bhagavad Gita, how do you know mystical things? Or Upanishads. No, you can read the Book of Mormons. There's no problem. You can read anything. You're open. You know, Isaac can go to the library and pick up anything he wants to. No, and atheism, it's okay. Read atheism. So what do they think? You know, or agnostics, what do they think? No, you're expanded. You're free. You're open. You're not afraid. Okay, you break all boundaries. So here is the healing we are doing in this mission. You're free. Okay. Of course, you can bound yourself still and hang on in your culture and religions and beliefs from the past. But that's your problem. We freed you. It is your fear is not letting you go. Okay. And we can do nothing about it. The only thing we can do, tell you, get go off. Get to a higher thing, expand yourself, become a greater person. Okay? We are creating great people here, people that they really are open. They really, they can become great scientists because they have no hang-ups either. Because science is a part of the mission. So you see, this is such an expanding and great thing for humanity to create a great civilization for everyone and connect ourselves with the rest of the universe and bring wonderful things to humanity and Earth. That is what it's all about. Okay? It's not just do the kirtan 2 times a day and say you did it, that's it. You are in heaven. Okay? There's a greatness. If you really understand this system, there's a greatness in it. That is bringing to humanity. Of course, as we said, but we are way ahead of humanity. Way, way ahead of humanity. Okay. But they will get there. They're coming along. Slowly, but surely. So, Noah came and this new human, of course, didn't, their eyes was closed. Their third eye was closed. If they don't have their third eye open, they absolutely don't have any. They think, that's it. The earth and this life is the most important thing for them. And this human, of course, evolves, and eventually God can choose a person, another person, to create another part of his teaching and open the second seal. And that was Abraham. Okay. And Abraham, of course, God told him, go away from your house, go to a new land that I'll show you, and you will, you know, prospered there, and he took his wife, and he didn't find his wife in the other land. He took his wife from the previous land. This time, I guess, Sarah should have come here, so I can.
You took him from Denver, Albuquerque.
You go.
You took him from Denver, Albuquerque.
Right. 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 Yeah. Is what?
I said you also took you to Denver.
Yeah. No, from the spirit.
You weren't there, right? You weren't. Yeah. You went to Denver to meet him.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. From Connecticut, suddenly she decided
to go
Denver.
To go
from yeah. It was so he takes his wife and his belonging and starts leaving the place and goes to another place, and of course, apparently, you know, he had a child with his concubine. And Ishmael comes, and God calls Abraham and says, I bless you, and he blesses Abraham, and he says, I'm going to give you the blessing of the birthright and the scepter that we talked in other lectures, in other thing, and he gives this blessing to Ishmael. And then he changed the name of Abraham to Abraham, and then Sarai to Sarah, and give them another, the same kind of promise, the scepter and the thing. And as many times I said, even if the Christians and Jews understand this part of the Bible, they have no choice but accept at least Islam a part of God's plan. Because he promised the same thing to Ishmael, which Arabs came from. And there it is. It's in the Bible, right there. And then, of course, from Ishmael, from Abraham and Sarah came Christ. Okay, Abraham started the second seal, the community. What Abraham said? Abraham said, we are the chosen people. Okay, not actually Abraham, the Israel, Jacob. Jacob said, we are the chosen people. We can create the tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. What the whole Old Testament is talking about. God is trying to find these people for himself. They're his chosen people. They're his tribes. They're supposed to bring him into their life in every level in their... You see, in the Old Testament, he said, what does it do? How to walk, how to talk, how to do the burnt offering, how to bring the sacrifice for forgiveness. If you do this, you have to do that. See, in every level of your life, every moment, you bring God in your life. Okay? You don't put him out. You can't put him out even a second of your life. If you put him out in that second, you fail. That second. That's exactly what he's trying to do in the Old Testament. God is trying to choose the people, bring tribes that choose him as their king, as their savior, as their, Lord. Okay? That's the community of light.
Can you give us some examples of putting God out of your life?
The governmental system?
Anytime that we do an action without consulting him is putting God out of your life. Okay. If, of course that is the extreme of it. It's very hard to do it in this environment, in this world we live now, but it's much easier to do it in a community of light, that things are slower and people are talking about God all the time. Okay. For instance, you decide that you do the reminder every day, twice a day. Okay. That's a decision you make. I'm going to do it. From now on, every day I'm going to do it, no matter what. Oh, you do it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then the third week you say, oh, well, let's escape it today. It doesn't feel good. Okay. That's one example.
Okay.
Right, okay. You say, okay. You see, you made a promise to God that you're going to do it. But our laziness takes it from following what we promised God we're going to do. That's putting God. Of course, there are other extreme cases. You can just expand it to anything else we do. Drinking, for instance, drinking hard liquor. Okay. For instance, the Bible says you shall not drink hard liquor. Okay. And it feels good. Okay, we go to the party, everybody else does it. Okay, and then we say, okay, I'm going to do it because if I don't, I'm not socializing. You see, socializing is more important than what God said. So you are putting God out of the decision. Or, anything. It's just, for instance, you don't have money for, your necessity. Okay. And then you go and buy a very luxurious cloth instead. Okay. You didn't consult God. Is that really a good thing to do? Okay, is it your will I do this, or your will is I spend my money for a more necessary thing instead of you know, spending for, you know, luxury clothes that you probably wear a couple of times and then you throw it away or something happens. So it's a decision. It really depends what is your priority in life. If your priority is, as we said, God is first, the spirituality is second, parents four, and your spouse, parents third, and your spouse four. Okay, parents, of course, should be good parents. And your spirituality should be good, your spiritual teacher. Yeah. And, of course, your God should be the true God. Okay. So if you know the true God, and your spiritual teacher connects you to the true God, is a good spiritual teacher. Your parents connect, you see, just like a parents, a lot of parents know they have to connect their children to God. Okay. If they don't, they are not consulted. So, a lot of people, you know, versus anything, just like a birthday party. Is that the will of God to have birthday party? See, that is another step. You see, this is all the steps you have to think about. You have to evaluate your life again. You see, from the very base. Anything you do isn't really a part of God's will. That God wants me to do this. Okay. Really, God said, keep Christmas? See, this is all come up, you know. It's just like a chain. You know, if you start really evaluating your life and really wanting to listen to God, okay, then it comes one after another. This thing came to the mission by evolving themselves and questioning. You know? Not I'm against Christmas. I don't care. The rest of the universe can keep whatever they want. Actually, you know, culturally, probably I should follow what Iranians do. But I don't. I follow what God told me to. I had to evaluate my values. Okay. What is that God wants me to do? God told me this is my holy days and you keep them holy. I didn't question it. I'd say, no, my father and mother did it the other way, you know, and it feels good and it's culturally acceptable and I want to be accepted by the culture. So I'm going to do it. No matter what my dress says or what God says. See, again, you see, you know, it just goes on and on. It's you can get to, you know, as is it, the teaching, the mission even given how to go to the bathroom. Okay. It's a very mundane thing, okay, but that is how God, that's why I say the only acceptable culture is God's culture. That's what we're trying to bring to humanity. God's culture is international. It doesn't know any boundaries. And imagine, just we unified humanity anyway. And then they said, no, we want to keep our holidays. Every nation, every people said, no, we want to keep our holidays. We're not going to follow what you say. What are we going to have? We have 365 days holidays? Some, you know, there's some examples. And so Christianity came, Christ came as the, he brought another seal of the great sign, sacrifice. What did Christ do? He goes all the way to cross for his ideal. Okay. Of course, God prophesied that that's what's going to happen when the cross comes. Okay. All through the Bible, it's one prophesied that is what's going to happen to him. He's going to be crucified. Okay. What is the symbol of crucifixion? Cross. Sacrifice. What did Christ need? Didn't Christ sacrifice himself? It's a very, and also we discussed it before, there's so many number three in the New Testament. Many times we brought it up. Okay, but what is number three? Gifts and three falls and many trees. So it's completely shows this third sign. Okay, and it's third sign and a great sign too. And of course Prophet Muhammad came and he brought the concept of submission and surrendering. Okay. And after Prophet Muhammad came Bab, and Bab brought the universalism. So these five steps of the great sign after the flood of Noah, one after another came to humanity separately. Now, when you go over these five steps, what happens? If you really, really go through these five steps, really, I mean, you really concentrate on the great sign and understand it and bring it to your life. As you said, if you do, you are going against the tide. Okay. But this tide is going to change. Okay. Because that's what God said. God said His kingdom will come on earth. Eventually humanity will realize that their happiness, their peace, their unity is based on God. If they don't follow what He says, they doing destruction to themselves. And it already happened to many cultures in history. Romans. What happened to Romans? They thought feeling good is okay. They felt good. They said all the roads end to Rome. Big ego. All the roads. So I mean, they were really the first one in the earth. They had the power. They were the greatest empire. Hundred years they fell apart. Why? And then what did accept all their gods bowed down in front of whom? Christ God. They accepted Christianity. So you can see that when God says, I am gonna do this, He prepares the way. As I said, now the revelation is never in any other prophets somebody came. Printed out. It is here. It's done. It's a done deal. Okay. It's written. It is published. Put on the paper. It's printed. It's out. It's here. I'm done. In a sense, I'm done with the whole thing. The only thing is, I'm sitting here just repeating myself over and over and over and over. And I don't mind. So that is the goal. That's the goal of the mission, to create Parabipas. The Parabipas are the facilitating bodies, and this project needs a lot of help, a lot of support, physically, mentally, spiritually, in all levels. It's not a small job. It's a big, big, huge, fantastic, tremendous. What is bigger than tremendous? Gigantic. Outrageous. You know. Thing. And who is the Parabipa? So Parabipa follows the eternal divine path, huh? Okay, follow the eternal divine path. What is this? Is the Parabipra? Incorruptible. Good. Okay, what else?
That passes off the ideology.
Alright. But that's part of the eternal divine path. They're different in the spirit. They're born as regular humans, like everyone else. Okay. But deeper in the spirit. From the very beginning, they feel different. They're searchers. They cannot commit themselves to the dogma of wherever they're born, what we're going to raise into. Okay. The question, everything in the mind. Okay. Is that true? That's right. Why do you say that? What is your proof? Why? Why? Remind me of that commercial intelligence. Why? That little kid said, Mommy, why? That's exactly what we have to do. And it will tell us, why? Why you say this? Why is it correct? The physically, the exercise, the inner side, the strengthening the body, they keep their body strong. They're physically strong. Mentally, they connect with intellectual things, study, read, connect to internet, and they're spiritual. So they're physically, mentally, and spiritually strong. They're strong. Because you need to be balanced. If you're physically strong, mentally and spiritually, you might not. You have a big body, but, you know, what else? Big body. It's like those dumb big bodies, but no brain and no spirit. You're mentally very strong, very dry intellectual. You become a good financial person, a lawyer, mentally very strong, but spiritually. From a spiritually strong is even not good. Meditate all the time, they don't care of your body and physically and, you know, mentally. You become what? You become escaping. Because you don't have enough strength of physical strength to get out and do something. So, you keep the physical level of that. They ceaselessly work to bring his kingdom within and on earth. They follow 15 commandments, 33 virtues. They are the true elected ones. Every religion came, they said, we are the elected ones. Jews, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Baha'is. Not that, but Baha'is and Jews. More adamant than anyone else that they are the chosen one. But who is the chosen one? It's not that you are following a teacher, but you are following a path. You are not the chosen one by coming here. You're not chosen one because you're in the mission of my church or you claim that you know my teaching. You are chosen one when you walk the path. When you awaken your spiritual forces. When you reach to the community to create communities of life, when you sacrifice, when you surrender and submit it, and you become universalist, then you are an elect. You are a paravipra. You're not a paravipra just because you believe in the mission of the Lord. You can't do it. You want to pass. You gain individual responsibility. You can't put it on me and say, okay, he's going to take my karma and everything, I'm fine. I'm going to go to heaven. But he said, yeah, I can take you to heaven. But what God said, I can take you to heaven, but he's going to throw you out of his mouth. Spew you out of his mouth and say, no, go back. You haven't learned the path yet. You didn't walk the eternal divine path. You cannot stay here. Go back. That's what I want you to do. Again, the creating incredible people. If each of us walk this path, we have no choice to be incredible. We have no choice to be effective. We have no choice to be an example for humanity. That is the goal. The goal is not to heal. The goal is not to say, oh, wonderful Maitreya, I love you. And but those are the parts of it, of course. This is a package. You have to love your God with your own mind, heart and spirit. Because I connect you to God. You can put it on my shoulder. I'll direct you to God all the time. That's where we connect. So that is what the true elect means when the scripture talks about.
Okay. They're fearless, they're elect ones. They have the quality of all classes in the society.
They are leaders. They will lead people, humanity, to a greater civilization, the greater earth for everyone. It's a mess. Who wants to be born here on this earth? That's crazy. So much suffering, so much destruction, so much separation, so much ego, so much. Why? They will create a good environment, a better earth. Then we will come back. They are the facilitating to ever increase human progress to a higher level. We'll talk about tomorrow how that's done, and how human society can progress to a greater degree in every cycle. They are the new generation of human, the next step in human evolution. Salud.